is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is Eli Hoshotara. I am here for this hour with you on newsforthesoul.com. That is newsforthesoul.com. You can look us up. You can call in. You can write in. If you want to call in, we have our phone number right here, which is 1-646-595-4274. Again, that's 1-646-595-4274. Apparently, if you want to call in from abroad, the one is the little bit that you put in at the beginning. And I see we already have somebody, 562-562. Hold on, and we'll get to you in just a moment. So it's a beautiful day out here on the west coast of Canada, in spite of all the things that are happening in the world. And it's all pretty freaking overwhelming. You know, everywhere you look, there's something more. And it can be a little bit depressing, actually. You know, or maybe you're fine, or maybe you've been fine through the whole thing. Shh, don't tell anybody that you haven't bought into all of this. You know, maybe something else sort of like gets the energy, and then you're like, ooh, then the depression hits or something. Because you know what? I mean, there's a lot of crazy going on. And, you know, facts are, we don't always know what's going on. A lot of the conspiracy theories are actually coming true, which is the darndest thing. I'm kind of surprised to see a lot of things on Facebook, for example, about, like, you know, how people are like, you know, screw immigrants. And I'm like, okay, racism, yay. That's always not fun to see. But, you know, we sort of see those things, and then, you know, people are like, oh, they're so repressed, how can they don't do anything about it? And then, of course, they're talking about putting in the exact same systems here that you see abroad for those repressed people that you don't want to go into their country because it's not safe, and yet those exact same systems are coming here. So the vax pass and all that. So it's kind of interesting, you know, people are not seeing that at all, and it's like, I think it's kind of funny seeing people who, you know, are so anti, you know, certain Asian countries where they're just like, you know, rah, on them. And yet, you know, like, why, whatever their reasons are for it, and sometimes it's not even a reason, but whatever their issue is, you know, it's kind of funny because they're actually pushing for the exact same systems to come into play, which is a darnest thing. So it's like, you know, they don't like, quote unquote, you know, certain countries, but they're pushing for us to end up having systems just like those countries. So really bizarre little bit of thing there. And we see this a lot, you know, we see where people have sort of hatred and they act or are trying to bring in behaviors that are exactly like the people that they hate. We see this a lot with, you know, people who, you know, they've got a lot of things going on. They don't take responsibility for themselves. And then they're always complaining about people who bully them. But, you know, what is a bully? A lot of the bullies are people that have not, if you're encountering a bully, you have an increased likelihood that you're dealing with somebody else who has trauma. And, you know, when you get people who feel like they're victims of life, they want to separate themselves from the bullies, you know, and the bullies are bad, but, you know, hurt people hurt other people. So, you know, you get some people who say, like, I'm the victim. I'm not the bully like that person. But if you actually look at, you know, what are the bullies' behaviors, it's, you know, somebody's always pushing you into everything. Okay. So why do people push people into other things? They don't know how to get resources met, and they commandeer energy. So if you've ever pushed a little bit more, that's what a bully is doing. If you've ever, you know, been extra stubborn because you don't want to deal with anything, when a bully is like completely and absolutely not listening to anything you're saying, that's what it looks like. So, you know, it's really interesting that people often use the behaviors and they don't correlate that with the behaviors that they have as an issue with other people. It's the darndest thing. And of course, the more that people, you know, feel hurt and victimized by life, the more that they tend to use those patterns, which is really interesting. you know, like, well, you know, they really did it. They really did it. Well, if, okay. And I'm not going to say that people never do anything to you. That would be ridiculous. Obviously, some people are going to be pulling some stuff somewhere. but, you know, the same people that are saying like, oh, everybody's also so bad and mean, you know, what are you looking at? You know, somebody who's, you know, if you've ever twisted things around on somebody else to make it seem like they're wrong because, you know, you wanted to, you know, maybe not get in trouble for something. Well, if people have twisted something around on you where you've been right and they've been wrong and they try to make you look like a bad guy, that's what it looks like. And so the more sort of hard time that people have in life, the more that they sort of do those behaviors, and they don't correlate that when other people are doing them to them, they don't correlate that it's the same behavior. So the advanced practitioner understands that better. It's not that they're going to be perfect, but they understand that they need to change their own behaviors because that's how they get out of pain and suffering. That's how they grow. That's how they figure out solutions. And people that tend to get stuck the most and are in extreme pain and suffering can have, I'm not going to say it's that way all the time for every single moment because that would not be true, but there can be more of those behaviors in there, and some people will exhibit that more than others. So it's, you know, it's the work of, you know, what did I do in here? I do not have the right to take it out on somebody. I'm responsible for my mood. And then, you know, sort of making the difference, understanding the difference between that and codependency. So no, it's not that you're supposed to take a lot of bullshit from somebody and they get to try to make you responsible and you're the bad person or you're not enlightened or you're not spiritual, et cetera, et cetera. If you say no or get upset about it, that would be actually very toxic to be doing to you. What it is that, you know, yes, I have a choice on how I respond, but it's also normal that sometimes I'm going to be upset. Yes, it is, you know, my responsibility of how I'm, you know, going to speak. But, you know, I'm, you know, some people get really codependent with the, you know, not speaking straight. And, you know, I'm apparently a little blunt. I say apparently. But, you know, part of the reason that I do that is because I think it's needed, you know, quite frankly. And it's not that, like, there's never any consideration of any other people's feelings. But if you're overdoing it, you're going to sit there and, you know, have them talk sideways and people use it as an excuse to blame you or, you know, or have an issue or not take responsibility for something. You know, and if you're constantly having to mince your words in order to cope, you're going to be encouraging that to some degree. You do need to be in awareness of that. And it doesn't tend to feel very good. I mean, that's a lot of work to have to consistently mince all your words. And, you know, refusing to mince your words or not being very good at it or choosing not to as much is very different than, you know, being a bully or just lashing out at people. There's, you know, a huge difference between saying, like, no, I don't want ice cream, and, you know, somebody who's really not dealing with things very well, you know, will, you know, basically go into a meltdown that you don't like ice cream. So it's, you know, it's not about, you know, you beep, 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 how dare you not like ice cream, bop, 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 bop. I'm just saying it straight. You know, that's not saying it straight, that's abusive. But not all saying it straight is abusive, you know, so that also needs to be understood, you know. So really, I mean, ideally, everybody's just able to say no when something's not good for them. And, you know, that's kind of like what you're aspiring to, because that helps straighten out a lot of your patterns. Being able to say yes to what's good for you is also part of straightening out your patterns, and it's about taking things to the next level. You know, yes, I feel like having some cherries now. I'm going to go get some cherries, you know, next time I go to the grocery store, because cherries are delicious. Well, for me, anyways, if you don't like cherries, totally understand you. But, you know, it's the sort of thing where, you know, especially when there's a lot of pain and suffering, one of the reasons why there can be so much pain and suffering is because people don't know where to say yes or where to say no in ways that are actually going to be healthy and beneficial for them. And to be clear, you know, that stuff's pretty easy to clean up. Or maybe I should say simple. It doesn't always feel easy, but sometimes it is. You know, if you're not under anybody else's steam or feeling like you're going to be picked on by somebody else, it's pretty easy to go grab cherries because you feel like having cherries. It's just a matter of training yourself to do that. You know, and anything you feel guilty about, you know, great, comfort coaching. You know, far from everything's a big deal, the reason certain things can have more of an impact in life is simply because we just don't understand how to use them in a way that's serving, or, you know, maybe the way that we're doing it, we think it should work, but it doesn't for whatever reason. And again, all these things, you know, clearing up with coaching, far from life always has to be hard. It just feels like that, you know, when sometimes people need a little bit of help. Sometimes people need a lot of help. Sometimes people need different modalities, you know, and I'm always here for all of that for you. And Lotus, I'm very good about saying, like, hey, go here for this and go here for that. If there's a different modality that would, you know, be a part of your puzzle, but the coaching, the behavioral patterns, that's always going to be king, like, or queen, or whatever you're into, goddess. that's always going to be the ultimate, because it's about your behavioral patterns. And, you know, and that's it. It's just the thinking processes. And the funny thing is, sometimes people are resistant to that, but you usually want the things that are good for you anyway. I really want to be clear about this. It's just you may not realize that yet. And that sounds kind of funny, but it's like that with success. You know, people want to be successful, but they don't want to do the work to be successful. It's infinitely easier to put in the work and be successful than it is not to do the work and not be successful. But if people don't have that experience yet, that is a very hard thing for them to comprehend. So it feels like doing the work is the hard part, but it's not. It's not doing the hard work and then watching your life pass you by, or not being able to afford certain experiences, or not be able to get the help you need, or not being able to leave a bad relationship, or not being able to move. Those are the hard parts of life, and you get those things enough, that makes a harder life. It's not, oh, I have to put in some participation into my life in some area, because you're always putting in participation no matter what. To some degree, you're putting in effort. Even for people who, you know, sit on the couch and eat ice cream all day, they're still putting in effort. Why are they still putting in effort? How are they possibly doing it? Well, because they're either going to have to still work to pay the rent. You can just work at something you love or work at something you don't like and not have enough money and suffer. You know, or, and if that doesn't work, then you're going to have to, like, hustle your butt to stay off the street, or, you know, live as bum, you know, bum housing off somebody else, et cetera. So, you know, make no mistake, there's always effort. It's just when we're doing it in a new arena, if we don't understand that, it can seem like that's very, very draining. And there are different reasons why, again, perception. And you can't normally talk yourself into this stuff. I see a lot of people who suffer who just try to talk themselves into being okay. In my experience, that doesn't work. But when you actually work out the pattern, then it's like, oh, that makes sense. You still have to put some effort in, and there'll still be resistance at the beginning. But once you get the hang of it, it's like, ah, this feels much better. It's like learning to ride a bike. I hated learning to ride a bike. I hated it. It started me when I was very young, and not super young. There were definitely younger kids than me riding a bike. It's just I didn't have the balance that the other kids seemed to. And somebody came up with this great idea of sticking me on a hill on a bike and letting it go across the worst, most bumpy terrain, because it was a grassy hill. And they're like, it'll be soft when you fall. Yeah, you're also more likely to fall. Oh, let me put you at the top of the hill, because, you know, you get the momentum. That'll make the balance you don't have click in. No. So I hated riding a bike until I was older and discovered, hey, guess what? I could just, you know, once my balance got it, came in a little bit more. I was a late bloomer for balance. But once it came in, you know, and I was like, I think 9 years old, it was like, hey, I like riding a bike. And then I still, you know, love bike riding. So, you know, it's just sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's having the skills. But, you know, it's just, it's usually harder at the time when you're in the learning process until you get the hang of it. But once you become, have an easier time with learning, that process becomes easier too. And sometimes, you know, you got to tweak things. You enjoy the learning in one area as much as you like the other. But it eventually does all make sense, and coaching is really excellent for that. So we have area code 562. You're on the air with El Hoshi Amtari. You can call in, write in, everybody else, for readings and coaching. Hello, 562.
Hi, hello.
Can you hear me?
Hi. I can hear you.
Oh, okay. This is Yvonne.
Hi. And where are you calling from?
From Long Beach, California.
Oh, nice area. Congratulations. I love California. And what can I do for you today?
Hi, yes. I was calling because I wanted to see if you see me getting pregnant soon. If so, which month?
Okay. And is it Yvonne with a Y or an E? I think it's just with a Y, right?
No, it's E-V-O-N-E.
Okay. Okay. One moment here. So, bright side, you've got a little one that's trying to come in. They don't want me to reveal the gender, but you definitely have a child that is trying very hard to come in. You need to go see a doctor or talk to a medical intuitive for that. Jane's really good. She's on 2 p.m. PSTs on Monday, because what's happening is I'm seeing stickiness, and it's like the baby's trying to come in and break through, but it can't. Kind of like watching very soft rubber, like very, very soft rubber, but it's just the baby's not able to make the breakthrough. So you have a spirit that wants to come in completely and absolutely, but it's just you have a medical issue that is sort of creating that issue there. And it seems like if the baby was to make the breakthrough anyways, it seems like it would be causing you pain, and that's why it's not happening.
Oh, I'm not trying right now. I haven't been trying. I'm going to start trying next few weeks. But
okay.
So is it going to happen, or is it not going to happen, you're saying, or what?
Let's see here. Hold on. So it can happen. It's still the same. Trying, not trying. It was about, you know, whether the baby can come in. There's a blockage. So the blockage is there, whether you're trying or whether you're not trying, but you do have a child that is trying to come in. There's zero question about that.
Okay. I just was concerned because you said when there's a blockage, I was wondering when I start trying, to will it happen or not? That's what I was wondering. It sounds like it's not going to happen. That's why I was like, is it going to happen?
Well, it can help. It can happen. You've got a spirit that's been trying to get in anyways, even when you haven't been trying, it's still there trying to get in. But it looks like you're going to need a little bit of medical help. And there's different things. There's, I know some people have gotten, fertility help through, what is it called?
Is it because I have an IUD?
Visceral manipulation.
Is it because I have an IUD right now? Because I'm going to take it out tomorrow.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's the IUD. Okay, there we go. Well, that would make sense.
Oh, okay. No wonder. Yeah, because I was thinking maybe it's the IUD.
Sorry, I didn't even think to do birth control. Yeah, it's IUD.
And it's crazy you said that. I can actually, I feel like, I'm not psychic, I don't think, but I can actually feel like there's a kid presence, like a spirit, like trying to come in. I actually been feeling that,
yes.
Like intuition. Or something.
Yes. And you've got more ability than you think you do. You definitely have healers out there. If I was to make like a painting of you, I would put you in there, and I would put you with like those, you know how they do kind of like bubbles around people? It kind of looks like the sunrise where you have the light beaming out of them. I get like you with a couple layers out of them. So you have more of a perception than you possibly want to give yourself credit for, completely and absolutely.
Oh, okay, great. Do you have any other messages for me from the spirit that I need to know about?
Okay, one moment here. So when you're bringing in the child, when you're trying, because, you know, obviously there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now, you want to make sure to really have your boundaries up spiritually. You really, really, really want to hardcore have those up when you bring the child in. You want to do it for the safety and the protection of the child, because, you know, there's a lot of spirits that are, like, you know, not getting off the earth plane with all the death and all those sorts of things. You want to make it as safe of a space as possible. So really hardcore have those boundaries up while you're trying and, you know, keep them up. You know, don't need to stress yourself out about it, but just make, because that's not good for the baby, but just have those boundaries up, like, very solidly.
Boundaries, but who, though? Who in particular? Like, do you know who?
Well, energetic boundaries. Like, there's so much stuff coming in. You know, things are changing up there. What used to work for you to be able to use to tap into reading doesn't work anymore. New things are coming in to talk to you, all these sorts of things. Like, it's absolutely, it's crazy up there. It's like, you know, some international airport, but by international, we mean, you know, worldwide airport, galaxies, et cetera. So you just really want to make sure that you got those boundaries up.
Okay. Hopefully I have a girl, but I mean, I take a boy, but I want a girl so bad. Yeah, I have the baby. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and congratulations, and good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have, let's see, oh, that's funny, I forgot to check for I forgot to check for birth control. Makes sense. That's funny. It's like, is it a condom? No. Alrighty then. Okay, so we have area code 519-519. You're on the air with El Hoshi Amtara.
Hi there. My name's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Where are you calling from?
Ontario.
Ooh, you're kind of local. How are you doing? And what can we do for you today?
I would like to get some insight on the I was put off work for a while. I'm wondering if I'm going to get back pay for that because my unemployment was what did they say? Denied. So
right. Okay, let's see here. Sorry, would you say your name again?
Jennifer.
It just blipped out of my head. Jennifer. Okay. So I'm seeing that it's going to take a lot of effort, like a lot of effort, and it's going to get you very little results. So it doesn't seem like there's a lot of cooperation there. It seems like a lot of stonewalling, you know, just sort of like it will get back to you and all these sorts of things and just ending up with a lot of frustration.
Okay. No, you know, that's, I won't bother then.
Yeah, I really wouldn't say it's worth it.
Okay, that's good advice.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
My dog. Are you able to tune into animals or no?
Sometimes if he'll let me read him, then I can tell you that. If not, I'll just let you know.
All right.
Okay, and what's the dog's name?
Daisy.
Daisy, and what would you like to know about Daisy?
She's been really whiny lately. I'm wondering if she's in pain. Oh, she is getting older, but she's always kind of been whiny. So I'm not sure. And I've tried I know I'm capable of communicating, but for whatever reason, I cannot communicate with this dog.
Right. So the whining is actually from her perspective. Just this really sweet, hi, mommy, hi, mommy, hi, mommy. Oh, it's mommy. Oh, I want to cuddle with mommy. Oh, I love mommy. Mommy, 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 mommy. It's just coming out as a whine, unfortunately, you know, which makes us think that there's something wrong, but it's just the whine is really mommy, 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 mommy. You know, just like any child on the playground, mommy, look at this, mommy, talk to me, mommy, you know. There does seem to be a little bit of a pain in the front right foot, which is making things a little bit more so. So that's worth getting checked out by a vet. But in terms of the rest of it, you know, there's some exhaustion, obviously, you know, with things getting, you know, with her getting older and feeling a little bit sore. You know, you can look into things that, you know, work for inflammation for dogs. It feels like, you know, she's feeling a little bit more pulled down, wanting some more, you know, nap time. And the whining just seems a little bit like it's starting to get to be more of a help me. So it's like, I'm tired. I don't know what to do. You know, my body's feeling this way, you know, mommy, I need help. I just don't know what to do. And there's a little bit of sort of a starting to give up energy, which I don't like. That makes me really, really nervous. You know, because sometimes, you know, people as well as animals, you know, we don't feel good. It's been a long time, or there's something going on. We don't know what it is. And it can be easier to just sort of give up into that. You've definitely got a dog with more of the sensitive type, right? Like, so if we were to say, talk about her as a person, you'd have a water type who is, you know, very in tune to the emotions, very empathic, doesn't quite know what to do with all of them. And so instead she just kind of goes into, you know, needing comfort from you, wanting to talk to you, wanting to curl up with you, or in this case, needing help. But it's definitely becoming, needing resolution. She's a little bit past the wanting resolution. It's like she doesn't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just sitting down and having, you know, a little bit of a conversation with her, assuring her the attention is there, you know, what can we do? And we're going to look at these different things. And that seems like that'll help to bring her spirits back up a bit, where it'll be like, happy mommy, you know, hi mommy, I'm happy, you know, and having more of that like joyful spirit.
Awesome. So that sounds great. I'll try doing that with her.
Perfect. Good luck. And yeah, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot more help for dogs than there used to be, which is excellent. And you've definitely got a speedy pine. She loves you very much.
Yes, she does. Thank you very much, Elle. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No. I love doing readings on dogs. I don't talk to them very much, but I love doing that. Aww. Oh, sorry, I'm just like basking. I'm like, huh, oh, doggy love. The heart. Oh, it's just blooming up inside me. Sorry, it's just like it just keeps going. It's like, oh, sprinkles. Sunshiny sprinkles, sparklies. unicorns. Okay, there we go. Keisha in New Jersey. She'd like to know if new work or income is coming her way. So Keisha in New Jersey. One moment here. One moment here. So, Keisha, I'm kind of getting a blockage. So this is just taking me a little bit. I see you're a strong lady. So that's really good. So interesting. Okay. Never mind. Hold on here. Hold on here. Okay, so Miss Fang, Miss Little Tough Girl, so the toughness is kind of serving you because it's keeping you out of situations that you may otherwise get yourself into that wouldn't be good for you. They can kind of look like they're going to be good in the beginning, you know, people are nice, and I was kind of actually wondering, because I see that, you know, tough girl energy, if that was kind of getting in your way. Sometimes people are like, I don't know how to help this person. And I see you have an ability to be vulnerable. And when I do that, I see people willing to step in and help. Unfortunately, it sort of like brings the wrong people. So when I'm trying to get you into work or income, you know, we kind of have this blockage here on, oh, it's like if you got the tough girl up, again, sometimes when people are tough, they're kind of hard to help because, you know, people don't know what to offer. Is this going to be acceptable? Is this something somebody's going to like? Are you going to, you know, upset them because they're really not into that? But you do have, here's the thing, you do have an ability to have people help you. I really, really want to be clear about that. And you have an ability to be vulnerable, which is good. It's just when you do that, you got to look at who you're being vulnerable with, and asking for help can be different than being vulnerable. And it's not kind of, you know, keeping tough girl up while asking. It's not that you have to be totally vulnerable, which I see you can totally do. because I love when you're vulnerable. You're such a sweet lady when you're doing that. The thing I'm kind of a little bit nervous about is when I do that, then I see you get help and I see people stepping in to help you. But then they're the people that are stepping in that like you're going to have to be more careful of. So it's not that vulnerability is not serving. It is. It really is. But with the other people that are going to help you right now, it's sort of like when you're learning to be vulnerable, learn how to do it when you're in private and you're just like, you know, you're online, you're reading a good book, you know, maybe you're having a glass of wine or tea or you know, whatever that looks like to you, having a Coke. you know, but when you're having, like, say, food experiences and stuff like that, especially when you're in private, those are really good times to practice your vulnerability, because then you learn how to get comfortable with them. And when you're comfortable with them more of your own accord, then you're going to have more of an ability to say no when you're out and about, when the wrong people are like, hey, you know, Keisha's a little bit softer. Excuse me. Let's go up and talk to her because she's got more of a pleasant energy right now. We want to help her because she's a good person. but it'll sort of like, when you learn how to do it on your own without involving other people in your vulnerability first, that will help you to sort of be able to make the distinction between who you're going to want to let in to help you and who you're not going to want to let in to help you. And again, that's by doing it under your own steam first. With the other people where jobs are available, they do not need you to be vulnerable. That's not necessarily going to work with the people that I'm seeing now. And it's not that vulnerability never works. It's just everybody responds differently to it. And the people that I'm seeing around you now that are going to be able to help you get into something that's going to be better energetically, they need you to actually verbally ask them. So they need to know what's going on for you, where they can help. You know, they're a little bit kind of like not really the types to step in. Sometimes, you know, people can think that's a little bit mean, but it actually is respecting the boundaries. So they're saying like, okay, Keisha likes to take care of herself. Cool, you know. And they don't really have necessarily much of an ability themselves to be able to reach out. They don't know how to be vulnerable that way and say like, hi, is there something I can do to help you? So you do have an increased ability to have income. I really want to be clear about that. You absolutely have that, but you just have to learn to ask for what it is that you need without being quite so tough, because those same people that are going to respond and give you work when you ask are going to find the, you know, pure tough Keisha a little bit off-putting. And again, it's not because you have to roll over and show your belly. That wouldn't work here anyways. it's just about more, you know, showing that you're, you know, you're a human side, and you have a human side, and you don't always have to be tough girl, because that helps them know that they can work with you, right? Because when you've got somebody who's always tough and they never let anybody in, it can be a little bit hard to work with them because you never know what's going on with them. And, you know, it's not that you need to, because you're still kind of learning that balance of, I don't quite want to say you're still learning, but it's like, I don't know how to put it. You're really good at being vulnerable. You're really good at like being like, okay, oh, oof, too much, you know. And but when you're in, you know, when you're in tough girl mode, that can be a little bit more challenging. And when people are in tough, you know, person mode, it becomes hard to know, you know, they don't give you feedback. You don't know if this is actually working for them. And if you care about people, you kind of want to know that things are working for them. And that's not about rolling over and showing your belly. It's just about, you know, where do you want to work? Doesn't matter, tough girl. You know, not that you're doing that one, but you sort of get the idea. It's like, well, it makes it hard to place somebody in a job position when you say, like, I really like to do this, and you're willing to show who you are a little bit more and be a little bit softer. I like this, this, and this. Then they know where to place you. Why do people want to know where to place you in a job? Because you're more likely to stay there longer if you enjoy the job and if it's a place, if it's in a position that you like to do. Some people really like stocking shelves. They hate talking to people all the time. Some people really love working the till, you know, but they hate having to stock shelves. you know, some people really like to be in front of the camera. Some people really like to be behind the scenes. There's no right or wrong to it. It's just different personality types. And when you tell people, this is what you want, would you please help me, this is what I need, you sort of allow them an in to have an idea of how to help you, because when you're in tough girl mode, you don't give information, sweetie pie. Like, you don't give information to such a degree that, like, hey, okay, and what can we do for Keisha? And it's like, block. It's like, okay, you know, am I allowed to see behind this block? Yes. Okay. You know, Keisha, you want to little soften a little bit so I can do the reading? And it's kind of like, okay, you know, here's one strand. It's like, okay, Keisha, I need a little bit more here. Okay, show you three strands. Okay, Keisha, need a little bit more, honey. You know, I need to just be able to sort of like get in there and see a little bit. So I need a little bit softer energy to be able to see and understand. And even verbally with other people, it's the same thing. So when you ask for people, and again, these people are not going to be the ones that are going to be able to help. There's, you know, not necessarily emotionally available, but they're willing to help. And then there's like, you know, more maybe considered possibly non-emotionally available, but not good news. The people that you can get somewhere with, they're not going to be the most emotionally available people. So, you know, rolling over and shaking the belly doesn't tend to work with those people. Anyways, they tend to be uncomfortable with it. But you can at least give them sort of like a guidance system. This is Keisha's map, you know. You don't have to give them the whole map. It's just Keisha likes to do this job. Keisha likes to do that job. Keisha would like to work here long-term, short-term, this many hours, et cetera. Do you know something like that? And the more, you know, when you sort of have these conversations with people, sometimes people are like, oh, wait, I know something that would work perfectly for that, you know. Or they're not sure, and then they can at least have a conversation with you about it. So, yes, an income, absolutely. And something's going to be more beneficial for you, absolutely. And something that's going to at least last for a few years. You know, I'm only saying for a few years because, again, we'd have to go back to like, okay, having these conversations. Oh, we did it, huh? I just had to say that to you. We're going to have to let Keisha be a little bit softer so we can check in. And then I got like 5 or 6 years. And then there's like, okay, absolute stonewall now. We're seeing the 5 or 6 years, but we're not going to see beyond that with Keisha. So yeah, 5 or 6 years, you know, you got some work coming. So you're going to be fine, just to be clear. But you got to ask for the help and, you know, and let people see a little bit more. The tough, you know, works and you need to keep the people out, but you don't need to keep everybody out to the same degree. So think of it as a scale on 1 to 10. When they're bad news, you need to keep them out to a degree of level 10. But if they're kind of like not sure, maybe they're not emotionally available, well, yeah, not really the type of people to really tell your secrets to because you don't know what the reactions are going to be. So, you know, you're not open to like the ultimate, you know, one. Oh, Keisha, you know, it's like maybe, you know, you just give them a little bit more, like maybe up to a 6, you know, it's like you're not really revealing yourself a whole lot, but you're doing enough so they can kind of say, yes, I have, but look, there's blue over here, you know, Keisha likes brown. Okay, we can, you know, cool, give Keisha the brown shirt or, you know, brown scarf, whatever it is. But you kind of get the idea. So it's just about levels, honey, that's all. So thank you for writing in. And we have, let's see. We have Lisa in Toronto. She wants to see if I see her, it being possible for her to manifest a new relationship this year. So one moment here, Lisa in Toronto. Let's see when, okay, in about 3 years. Let's see here, hold on. Okay, so you're probably going to find him within the year, but you're probably not going to be in a relationship with him for about 3 years. And I know that's not fun to hear, but the nice thing is, you know, it's like things just take time to play out. And when they do, you're talking about a lifetime relationship. So, like, you know, you're, you know, the one that you're going to spend the rest of your days with, if you want to spend the rest of your days with that person. They're coming. It's just you got to let it play out. And it's not about, you know, playing it. Oh. I can't give any more information than that. Okay. No, that would be too much interference. Okay. But yes, absolutely. I can just tell you what I've said and that's it. Thank you so much, Lisa. I wish I could give you more information, but that's not how things roll sometimes. And that's in your best interest too. I mean, I know sometimes people, you know, sort of don't understand that, but you know, and it doesn't feel good to feel lost, you know, like, am I going to be doing this right? Am I going to be doing that right? But you know what? Sometimes the mind freak is part of the process. So we have, let's see. Hold on here. One moment. So Ashley in New York wants to know if her court case is going to be in her favor. As things stand, yes. I have to say as things stand because there's always things that can come into play that can take things off one way or another, or, you know, somebody doesn't do something that they're supposed to, or new things that come up, et cetera, et cetera. So as things stand, yes. But again, that's, you know, reliant on, yep, hold on. Can't tell you more than that. It's a no interference day. So good luck with that, but so far things look good. So we have, let's see, Shay in Manitoba. And Shay would like to know what spirit message there is for her today. So one moment, Shay in Manitoba. I love my Manitobans. Let's see her. So Shay, you're getting hit with some big whopping spirits, like big time, like like really, really huge. Okay, so so without this, the big whopping, it's kind of strange to say, too, the good whopping is a good thing, but the big giant whopping is actually spirit, and it's kind of like you, if we kind of take it out, because it's like, why is that happening? Because that looks a wee bit uncomfortable. It's like, yeah, she wouldn't be quite as happy. It's, you know, okay, it would be a little bit like, yeah, okay. But the whopping of the spirit is actually good, because then she's got life force. And she looks excellent. And, you know, I really like the energy of, you know, it sounds funny to say, I like the energy when the spirit is whopping you. you know, how do you come up with these things? I seriously... But it actually looks really beneficial. So you are allowed to sort of like, oh, hold on here. So you seem to be having some sort of like interaction with the spirit. So it's going like, hey, boom. And it's kind of like, she's going like, okay, yep, I see you. And, you know, just kind of like, you know, touch it on the face. You know, it's kind of like... It's kind of like if the dog was coming up to you being friendly, nosing you, and you're kind of like laughing and sort of like pushing the dog off, but you're kind of getting, you know, happy and excited because, you know, you love the dog, and, you know, the dog makes you happy. But there you go. You got the cold, wet nose. And not that it's a cold, wet nose because it's spirit, but it's kind of like that. It's just sort of like, oh, I used to do that with my daughter when she was a baby. I'd like come up and like, you know, and put my nose into her cheek and be like, you know, rub it and be like, hi. And I'd be like, you know, I'd hug her and I'd like kind of press my nose into her a little bit more and give her little kisses. And she'd be like, wee. So cute. And you kind of got that interaction with spirit, you know, just that kind of like happy interaction. And it's a good thing. And, you know, you've got a really good play for it. You've got that sort of, let's see, hold on. You know, and it doesn't really have a purpose. It's just sort of like there to engage you and make you happy. And that's pretty much it. So there's, let's see here. Yeah, that's it. You just, you have a spirit making, not as spirit. You have spirit. So God, force, whatever you would like to call it, even though I see a face. I don't know why they're calling it spirit as opposed to as spirit. But it just seems to be having that form right now where it's just poking into you and it's, you know, the face is there and she's just like, oh my God, you're so funny. you know, not quite like that, but you get the gist. And that's all that it really is. It's just, you know, like, hey, you know, she's going to be happy today because she's getting poked in the face by spirit. And yeah, it's just a happy little piece of enjoyment, you know. And sometimes, you know, when we get these things, we kind of want the great grand explanation. But sometimes, you know, things are very simplistic, you know, very, very, very simple. And it's just like, hey, Shane's enjoying the interaction. Cool. And that's all that it is, you know, enjoy it. That's it. So good luck with that. Let's see. Oh, so we have Dana in the UK. And she'd like a reading about a relationship with her mom. Are things going to smooth over soon? So one moment here, Dana in the UK. So, Dana, I would actually suggest going to see a counselor who deals with somatic modalities, and I would actually do that with mom. The reason that I would suggest that it's worth checking out. here's the thing. Yeah, find a counselor and see if mom wants to go to counseling. And look for somebody with the somatics. You really want the somatics. The somatics is the important part of that conversation. there's some things that you can work out and definitely have things be going a lot better. Let's see here. Hold on here. Yeah, it's something that would actually be really good for both of you. it seems like this is something that would be good, very good for both of you to get things cleaned up. let's see how to put this. So for some of us, we have, you know, we have parents for a reason, not just come to this world, but to have sort of like lifelong, to have sort of like lifelong aspects where we sort of, they kind of like grate a little bit at us. Grate's kind of the wrong word. It's kind of too strong. Here's the thing, like, you know, usually people don't kind of like write in to say like, are things going to smooth over soon? When I see the level of sort of issues that are going on with you and mom. So, I mean, congratulations for like, you know, nipping at a much subtler level. Excuse me. Because a lot of people really, you know, wait till that everything is in dire straits before they're willing to do that. But I'm saying you and mom are actually, you know, internally for both of you, you're actually both doing pretty good. We have, though, sometimes when we have these interactions or issues that need to be sorted out, the reason that they come in with parents is because they're things that we need to hopefully get sorted out. And if we don't sort them out, they're going to last for the rest of our lives in terms of interactions and how well these interactions go. And this is something that can, your interaction with mom, or for both of you, can be something that's going to end up lasting, you know, for the rest of your lives for both of you. If you two went and sort of like got help with getting your differences sorted out, you actually have the chance to release a lot of it before your mom passes, which is really excellent. And you have the ability to actually help her get a lot of it cleaned up too before she passes, which is excellent. So for both of you, I mean, if we were to talk of like, if we were to talk about like somebody else and we were to say that they had a broken leg, think of it as in terms of like, you know, we could tell this person that if they go see that doctor, they're going to stop two people, or one's going to completely stop having a broken leg for the rest of their life. They're never going to have it again. And the other one is going to have, maybe they're going to have some pain discomfort, but it's not going to be broken again. And that's kind of like what you and mom are facing. So it's really this beautiful thing, because anything you can get resolved in this lifetime means you don't have to replay it next lifetime. And you have a chance to get a lot more resolution in here for the both of you, so that, you know, because we tend to reincarnate again and again and again with our family, especially our parents. If you go and get it resolved this lifetime, things can go a lot smoother in terms of like how you're going to be responding to your mother, you know, for next lifetime, because she would be able to release enough of it. And, you know, if, depending on what you work out to what degree, I mean, you have the chance as well, at least to get, you know, half of it, a bit more than half resolved before the end of this lifetime. but you can absolutely work onto it to a further degree, so you actually don't have to redo this again, which would be, I mean, I think really excellent. Anytime you can, you know, finish up anything you can in one lifetime, I'm all for it. Because, you know, like, you're looking at, for next lifetime, you're looking at, what are you going to have to recreate? You know, are you going to go on the same path? Are you going to take a different path? You know, are you going to be more stubborn about it? Or is mom going to be more stubborn about it? You know, can things get worse? Because things can absolutely get worse. And right now, you two are in such a good position that, you know, even if mom didn't go with you, I would really suggest going to talk to a somatic therapist, because anything that you can do now, you have the potential to make next lifetimes easier. And really, I mean, this is gold. I mean, this is really, really, really hardcore. Like, this is karmic gold, because you have the chance to lessen the things you're going to have to go through next lifetime. Like, I mean, it's gold. It's like buying a lottery ticket and finding out you won kind of thing. So I'd really, really hardcore suggest that. And good luck with that. So we're at the top of the hour here. I'm just going to do really quickly here. Stays in California, wants a reading about a recent relationship. Was leaving the wrong thing to do. So I'm just going to answer the was leaving the wrong thing to do, because I think that's kind of hard to sit there for a week wondering about. So hold on here. Looks like it was a good thing to break up. Because even when I put, okay, they get this result, they get that result, they get this result, even if I got the two of you resolved, it seems like there's always going to be things that the two of you are going to be at odds about. The reason it probably doesn't feel good and clear, there's this thing called karmic relationships, where you're there to sort things out, and they don't always go the best, but they can be very hard to leave, and be very hard to leave cleanly. So karmic relationship does not mean that you need to go back in it. It just means that in your case, until you get those things resolved within yourself, because you have certain aspects that you need to work on, and they do affect your relationships. Again, another person I would say, you know, go talk to a therapist who's got a somatic capability. You really want the somatic in there, because that'll really affect your relationships. And I know, not fun to hear, but here's the nice thing about it. When you do that, it becomes easier to feel clean about having left certain relationships, whereas if there are certain issues that can, I'm not going to go into them all here, and I'm not going to say these are all applicable to you because I haven't done a reading on that. I don't know. But there's all sorts of, like, different, you know, somatic or physical issues that, like, neural manipulation, visceral manipulation, all that can deal with, that if those things are not resolved, it can make it hard to cleanly leave a relationship and feel like it's the right thing to do. So, yes, you did the right thing, or chances are you did the right thing based on the amount. But I'm going to say, like, most likely, just because we're at the top of the hour here, so I can't fully read all the effects. But it kind of, you know, I'm going to more accurately say it more than sort of looks like you did the right thing. It's just because we're at the top of the hour, and I can't go into all the little different tangents to see but it more looks like that, you know. So, yeah, you know, feel free to, like, write back in and ask a different question or whatever. But until those things are resolved, bottom line is you can leave a relationship that's not the most serving for you. May never have been the most serving for you. May never be the most serving for you. Not because he's a bad guy. You know, he's got some good points to him. It's just simply that until you're resolved in certain areas, it's hard to leave that and feel that way. So, looks like a good, you know, looks like more than sort of a good idea. But again, I can't really give that 100% because, unfortunately, because it's the top of the hour, but also because, you know, it probably just won't feel like that to you until you get things resolved a little bit further along. So somatic therapist looks like it would be a good helping for you. So thank you, everybody. We've got Tina in Washington, and we'll get to you next week. So thank you so much, everybody. I'm here every single week, 3 p.m. PST on newsforthesoul.com, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. So you can come in and come for the coaching. Please go to www.enlightenmentinthecity. That's enlightenmentinthecity.com. And go there. Come for the coaching. Seriously, I love doing readings for people. Why? Because I want to be able to help you make the best decisions for yourself that you can. I want you to be able to, you know, understand what's going on. But the coaching is where it's at, because then you can do a lot more things for yourself and things will be a lot clearer for you. It's the darndest thing. You know, if you had all the answers, would things be clearer? Yes. That's part of the reason why doing readings for people help. But when you can have the ability to see those things on your own, oh, that's your liquid gold, baby. Okay, so thank you so much, everybody. I love you. Take care of yourselves. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained since January 1997. We began our 25th year in broadcasting in January 2022, and we're just getting started, exploring the edge of human consciousness and possibility on planet Earth with founder and journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm. What's really real and what's really possible? That is what we want to know. Join us at newsforthesoul.com. newsforthesoul.com.